Amen. Thank you, Cindy and Brother Chris and our choir. God bless you all this morning. Reminding us, and that may be a message that many of you need to hear again and again and again, and especially today, that Jesus loves you. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find Luke chapter 4 and verse 14. Luke chapter 4 in verse 14, as you're finding today's scripture. We were singing just a moment ago, Man of Sorrows, in one of those verses talking about the stone being rolled away and the empty tomb. Did you know that Easter in 2024 is actually next month, 7 weeks from today? March the 31st is Resurrection Morning that we will celebrate here at Emory Baptist Church. This morning we are continuing our study in Luke's Gospel. If you were here last Sunday morning, you heard Brother Ronnie lead us through Jesus' temptation in the wilderness and the desert. And so today we want to continue thinking about Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus' earthly ministry. If you were to have viewed Jesus' baptism as his ordination for ministry, then his time in the wilderness or the desert could be viewed as his preparation for ministry. And in today's text, in one regard, as Jesus goes home, we're going to see the inauguration of Jesus' earthly ministry. Today's text is Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14 and through verse 30. And so if you have found that text, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word and follow along on the screens behind me or in your copy of the scriptures? Luke chapter 4, beginning in verse 14, Luke wrote, "Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.' Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.' So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is this not Joseph's son?' He said to them, 'You will surely say this proverb to me, Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country.' Then he said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. So all those in the synagogue, when they had heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. And then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at Jesus' earthly ministry. Lord, open our eyes to see and our ears to hear. Open our hearts to be receptive today to your word. And Lord, again, we ask and pray for every individual in the room that your Holy Spirit would be at work individually, convicting of sin and lostness, or molding and shaping us more into the image of Christ. Work in us individually, work in our church collectively. That is our prayer. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Look there in verses 14 and 15 of Luke chapter 4. Notice that Jesus' earthly ministry was furthered by the Holy Spirit, was furthered or empowered by the Holy Spirit. We catch a little bit of a glimpse in a summary fashion of Jesus' earthly ministry. It was back in very familiar territory. In one regard, Jesus was beginning his earthly ministry close to home. You might think of Galilee as the county in our vernacular today, and then Nazareth as the specific town. And verse 14 says that Jesus returned to Galilee. And notice in 15 that his ministry was primarily preaching and teaching. And so verse 15, and he taught. And then notice that his ministry, his earthly ministry, always began with the Jews. It always began with the nation of Israel. Brother Richard, how do you know that? Because it said in verse 15, he taught in their synagogues. That's where the Jews would be. That's where the nation of Israel would be. And so going back close to home, teaching and preaching, and beginning with his own countrymen, and notice there in verse 14 that his earthly ministry was furthered or empowered by the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, one of the unique features of Luke's gospel is that he often highlights the work of the Holy Spirit. And so let's turn back just a couple of chapters and see that. Notice in chapter 1 and verse 35, when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. This is the Immaculate Conception, where the Holy Spirit was at work in Mary's life. And then in Luke chapter 3 and verse 22, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. This was the baptism of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is coming upon Jesus, empowering him, ordaining him for ministry. And then in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And so now the Holy Spirit at work again, preparing Jesus for ministry. And so Luke's going to highlight the work of the Holy Spirit throughout his gospel and even in his second volume, the Acts of the Apostles. By the way, brothers and sisters, in the same way that the Holy Spirit furthered and empowered the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should call on him to empower and further the ministry of Emory Baptist Church. Just a moment ago, I tried to make this very explicit every Sunday, but perhaps even more so in the recent months. That when I lead us in prayer on Sunday morning, the very last thing that I pray for, because it's the last thing that I want to be in your mind and on your heart, is praying for the presence of the Holy Spirit in this place. We need the Holy Spirit. We have to have the Holy Spirit working in the life of an individual to bring a man or a woman to faith in Christ. We have to have the Holy Spirit at work in the life of every believer, molding and shaping us more into the image of Christ. I pray that when you leave this place and you go to school and you go to work and you go to the office and you go to the neighborhood this afternoon and this next week, that you pray for the Holy Spirit to give you boldness in proclaiming the gospel of Christ. I pray that you would ask the Holy Spirit to be at work in the lives of the men and the women and the boys and girls that God will sovereignly put in your path for you to share the gospel with them, that you would pray that the Holy Spirit would go before you, softening their hearts. And whether we are packing backpacks this next Wednesday, or we're leading children in kids' praise, or for ministering to teenagers, every ministry that we do here at Emory Baptist Church, if not empowered by the Holy Spirit, is an exercise in futility. And so, brothers and sisters, let us be faithful in calling upon the Holy Spirit to further and empower our ministry in the same way that the Holy Spirit furthered and empowered Jesus' earthly ministry. Look at verse 16. Not only did Jesus' earthly ministry, was it furthered by the Holy Spirit, but listen very closely to me, it favored the outcast. Jesus' earthly ministry favored the outcast. Look at verse 16. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. So it's the county of Galilee. We're now focusing in on the town of Nazareth. And if Galilee had multiple synagogues, then Nazareth had one synagogue. And so he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Now remember, the Sabbath day began at sundown on Friday night, would have lasted until sundown on Saturday. So this is sometime on Saturday. Jesus has gone into the synagogue there in Nazareth, and he stood up to read. He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This is Isaiah 61. And he says in verse 18 again, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." There in verse 18, there are five groups of individuals that are oftentimes considered to be the outcasts of society and culture. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captives or prisoners or those incarcerated, the blind, and the oppressed. And for years and years and years and years, conservative Baptists have understood that what Jesus is talking about here is the spiritually poor and the spiritually brokenhearted and the spiritually captive and the spiritually blind and the spiritually oppressed. And while that is true, brothers and sisters, do not think for a moment that Jesus isn't speaking here literally. That he is speaking literally of the poor, and literally of the brokenhearted, and literally of the incarcerated, and literally of the blind, and literally of the oppressed. And if Jesus' ministry was to these groups of people, then brothers and sisters, again, ours at Emory Baptist Church should also be as well. Why would Jesus' earthly ministry favor the outcast? It's because the outcast recognize their need and their need for a Savior. It's the poor who recognizes their need for finances. It's the brokenhearted who recognizes their need for peace. It's the incarcerated that recognizes their need for freedom, or the blind who recognizes their need to see, or the oppressed who recognizes their need to no longer live oppressed. See, Jesus' ministry favored the socially outcast, but Jesus' ministry also favored the ethnically outcast. Look at verses 25 and 27. Jesus said, "But I tell you truly." Now remember, he is preaching to the Jews in the synagogue in Nazareth. "But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." What was unique about this one single widow? I mean, he says there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was sent to this one particular widow. Do you know what's unique about her? She was a Gentile. She wasn't a Jew. And Jesus is reminding these Jews that of all the widows in Israel, that God sent his prophet Elijah to a Gentile widow because his earthly ministry favored the outcast. But then he doesn't just do it once, he does it a second time. Look at verse 27. "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." You know what was unique about Naaman the Syrian? You know, he was a Gentile. And so Jesus is preaching to this synagogue full of Jews and reminding them that my ministry, that God's ministry for me, it's going to favor the outcast, because so many times it's hard for the affluent to recognize their need. And it's hard for the educated to recognize their need. And it's hard for the healthy to recognize their need. But it's not hard for the socially outcast to recognize their need. It's not as hard for the ethnically outcast or even the ethnic minority to recognize their need. See, what Jesus is doing here, brothers and sisters, is he's reminding us of the need for our ministry to start right here in our community. The community that God has sovereignly and providentially given to us. Now, let me just speak very plainly and very clearly this morning to you as your shepherd. If you would rather minister to those in Allen and Frisco and Louisville, then you need to go to church in Allen and Frisco and Louisville. But you don't go to church there. You're part of the body of Christ in Emory. You're part of the body of Christ in Raines County. And so who is our community? God's called us to minister to them. And Jesus' earthly ministry was to those socially outcast, to those ethnically outcast. And I'm going to even get more specific this morning. I want to take just a moment to remind you of what I believe is our calling to minister, particularly to immigrants that God brings in our path. Now, I'm about to speak to you this morning not as a Republican, not as a Democrat, but as your shepherd who is a citizen in the country, in my opinion, is the greatest country in the world. Brothers and sisters, we have a massive immigration policy in our country. A massive immigration problem. We need major comprehensive immigration reform. And you and I need to elect congressmen and women to make that happen. And do you know where comprehensive immigration reform begins? With a secure border. With a secure border. And specifically for our concern, a secure southern border. We're not having issues with a secure northern border, at least to my knowledge in our country, but a secure southern border. You're not oblivious to all that's going on in our country right now. You're not oblivious to what's going on in our own state because it affects us. It affects you. Now, certainly a very good question needs to be asked. Well, if we secure a border, and this is going to get to ministry to those that God brings to us, what should happen to the millions of illegal immigrants in our country? Should we load them up and deport them? We should not. Our economy would collapse if that happened. Some of your businesses would collapse if that happened. Are we just to grant amnesty to millions and millions of illegal immigrants? We are not, should not. What do we do? Well, as the body of Christ, We're called to welcome them. We're called to love them. We're called to minister to them. But we're also called to secure the border. And while those individuals are here, can I just share with you a few more tenets of what comprehensive immigration reform needs to include? And no, I'm not running for office. It needs to start with a secure border. It then needs to proceed for all of those individuals who are here illegally or they're staying illegally, that they get their rightful place in line, which is not ahead of those who have come here or who are staying here legally. Number three, there needs to be some criminal background checks that take place. And if you are a known felon, you should not be allowed to stay freely in this country. Then there needs to be a monetary fine that happens for breaking a law, coming illegally, staying illegally. And then number five, at least these five, if you're going to come to this great nation, it would be in your best interest and our best interest for you to learn the language of this nation. Last week I was serving in the junior high basketball concession stand. My wife and I were trying to help out and do our part. And as I was talking with multiple junior high students who came up and said, hey, I want a piece of pizza, hey, I want popcorn, hey, I want a drink, hey, I want candy, whatever. And there were these three Hispanic young ladies who came, I bet they probably came five times over the course of 2 hours. And there was one girl in particular that always did the talking. And they would talk back and forth, and they would talk in Spanish, and then she would talk to me in English. And so I just asked. I mean, I really did not expect the answer that I got. But I asked, I said, can she speak English? And the friend who could speak English said to me, she cannot. This was a junior high girl. Raines Junior High. Could not speak English. If you're going to come to, whether you're coming from Ukraine, whether you're coming from Mexico, whether you're coming from, fill in the blank, Germany, and you want to live and be a citizen of this nation, it would be in your best interest and our best interest for you to learn the language of this country. But while all of that is taking place, brothers and sisters, what do? We minister to those that God has brought to us. We love them. We welcome them. We try to meet their needs. And they're more than likely going to be socially outcast. They're going to be ethnically outcast. But that's who Jesus' earthly ministry favors. Notice finally, not only was Jesus' earthly ministry furthered by the Holy Spirit and favored the outcast, but it fulfilled prophecy. Verse 20, then Jesus closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Watch this, verse 21. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, I am the one. I am the promised Messiah. I am the one that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I am the one that God has chosen to preach and teach these individuals. I am the promised Messiah. He was a fulfillment of prophecy as he followed God's plan. Now we need to understand, brothers and sisters, when you put forth effort to minister to those closest to you, it oftentimes can be extremely difficult. Notice verse 22. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But then the sentiment begins to change. Is this not Joseph's son? I mean, we know this kid, right? How is he saying this to us now? Verse 23, Jesus said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" He knew that they wanted to see miracles to authenticate his message. Oh, really? You're the promised Messiah? Well, show us. Do something and prove yourself. And then we're familiar with that idiom of days gone by, verse 24, "Assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." It's hard to do ministry to family. It's hard to do ministry in the community where you grew up. But yet Jesus said, it is worth it. It is worth it. Because back in verse 15, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." And in verse 22, "So all bore witness to him and marveled at his gracious words." It's worth it, but it's going to be hard. Verses 28 through 30. "So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." How dare him? How dare Jesus point out to us that God sent Elijah to that Gentile widow? And how dare he point out to us that God sent Elisha to that leper and only that leper was cleansed? They were so angry with Jesus that they rose up, verse 29, and thrust him out of the city. They were ready to throw him over a cliff. But in a miraculous way, that could only be true of the Son of God, Jesus then in verse 30 passed through the midst of him and avoided peril because it wasn't time. Brothers and sisters, what about our earthly ministry here at Emory Baptist Church? Is it empowered by the Holy Spirit? Does it focus on those that God brings to us here in our town, in our community? Is it following God's plan in proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah? And then some of you may be here this morning and you have heard the good news of the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and in your place. And yet, once again, you are saying no, no thank you. Keep in mind here, Jesus, in going to the Jews first to proclaim the message of salvation to them, eventually his mercy moved on. His mercy moved on to the Gentiles. Are you in danger this morning of his mercy moving on from you? You've heard the gospel. You know that you don't know Christ as Savior. You're living on borrowed time. What are you waiting for? Today, won't you answer the call to salvation? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? just a moment, after I finish praying, we're going to invite you to stand and sing a very familiar song. Brother Ronnie and I will be here at the front. And today we would invite you to respond publicly to God's word. Today, would you answer the call to salvation? Today, would you answer the call to recommitting your life and your ministry and following the pattern and example of the Lord Jesus? Today, would you answer the call to uniting with Emory Baptist Church and church membership? Our invitation will be for you. Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago and to us today. Father, I ask and pray, even during our invitation, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our midst. Your Holy Spirit would have his way in our lives, drawing for salvation, convicting of sin, molding and shaping us more into the image of Jesus. We love you, and we commit this time to you, and we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Chris comes to lead us? Brother Ronnie and I are here at the front. Today we would invite you to respond publicly to God's word.